What do you say we start hour number three? Having a great Monday. How could it be anything other than a great Monday after Selection Sunday? Best time of the year. Welcome back. Tremendous day to you. I'm Jim Rome. The program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Phone number is toll free. No matter where you can hear us, 1-800-636-8686. Tournament getting underway this week. So let's keep talking about it. We're joined right now by the head basketball coach at Fairleigh Dickinson. Sixth season with the Knights. He's leading the Knights to the tournament for the second time in the past 4 years. They're 20-13 overall, the Northeastern Conference Tournament champs. Fairleigh Dickinson goes up against Prairie View A&M, and that's tomorrow, 6:40 p.m. Eastern. Greg Herenda is the head coach. He joins us right now. Greg, it's been a little while, but it's great to have you back. How are you?
Rome, it's great to be back. Good to hear your voice again, and it's great to be in Dayton, man.
Man, it is so good to hear your voice too, Greg. Great to visit with you. I was eager to do it. So you left for Dayton this morning. How was that trip? And then how do you go about preparing between now and tip-off?
Well, we roll just like you do, charter, you know. And it's just great to see the freshmen and sophomores and juniors see the plane and walk on it and know they have as much leg room. Like, the simple things are what kids like, you know. And just the food on the plane and the charter plane and the welcome that we got at the hotel today in Dayton was incredible. So these kids are like a mile high, but we know we have a game to play in just a little over 4 hours, and we're ready for it. But it's great flight. Weather's great in Dayton, and we're just heading over to practice right now at Wright State.
My man, I love hearing that. I'm glad you made time for it, too. So you beat St. Francis 85-76 last Tuesday night. You win the conference tourney. So you knew that you were in the field of 68. Knowing that, what was Selection Sunday like for you and your players? What was it like when you saw your name come up?
You know, it was wild, Rome, because we were the third region to go. So the even though we knew we were going, the suspense of who we were playing and when and where was incredible. I could only imagine these bubble guys, you know, when you're sitting there not knowing that you might go home and not be able to participate. So we had a great, great day. We have a new athletic director, Brad Herbert, who came from Sacred Heart via Northwestern, who's a big-time guy. We had the building was rocking. Our Rothman Center was rocking it. Then we had a March to Madness to our auditorium on campus that we filled. So, we were covered by the Post and all the New Jersey, the Bergen Record, Jersey Journal. And I think we're ahead of schedule from last year. We went in 2016, I should say. But now in 2019, I just think we're more prepared as a team, as a program, as a university. So we're just taking it all in and just really blessed and privileged to be here today.
You're sincerely pumping me up. I love hearing this. Greg Herenda joining us. Now, one of the things you've said is, quote, "I tell our team all the time that you will forever be judged by what you're not supposed to do."
You're the best.
I love that quote. Tell me what you mean by that.
Amen, brother. I just think in life, you've got to do things. Anyone can do the ordinary. And these guys, if we win a game, it's history. And they'll forever be remembered by something that they probably shouldn't do. And, like, we don't beat out, you know, we're not beating out people for recruits. Like, we're not getting, we got guys that go to McDonald's, man. We don't get McDonald's All-Americans. So when these kids come, it's just all in front of us. It's a dream. And then when you realize that dream, Rome, it's, you know, the feeling. It's euphoric. It's crazy. And I think I always don't be ordinary, man. Don't be ordinary. Come to Fairleigh Dickinson. You're going to be different. You're going to be out in front. And that's win, lose, or draw. You know, we learned some hard lessons. You know, we were 1-4, Rome, in our conference to start the season. And then we won 15 out of 17 to this day. Our last loss is on Valentine's Day. And yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. So we're playing consistent, good basketball. But we're playing a really good Prairie View basketball team. And guess what, man? It's not going to be easy. We got 40 minutes of hell because they steal the ball, they press, they run, they're athletic. Byron Smith is a great young coach, and we got our hands full.
Early Dickinson head coach Greg Horrenda joining us. I want to make that point. I want to reiterate what you just said. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you guys, back on January 19th, you go back that far, you lost 6 of 7. You were 6-11 overall. Teams that start the season that way are not supposed to go to the NCAA tournament. How did you turn it around?
Our players, quite honestly, we had one, and I'm not a big advocate of it, but we had a film session where there were just a few, there was like little murmurs going on. And I it had to come to a head. And our sophomore Elijah Williams from Evanston, Illinois, after the film session says, "Guys, we got to meet." And the players met. And sometimes, Rome, you know this, in the NFL locker rooms, high-level locker rooms, people, you know, you look at the Steelers, you know, you just, locker rooms can explode. Our locker room came together. And then on top of that, we just started playing really good basketball and playing together. And we understood who we were, what we're about, and where we're going. So I give our players so much credit. And you don't know who's going to be your leader. It could be a sophomore. But our seniors, Mike Holloway is our big man inside, is a great leader, strong, tough kid that can play. He's got to play great tomorrow. And Darnell Edge, Reggie Miller is doing our game tomorrow. We've been calling him our Ray Allen, but we're going to start out in Dayton calling him our Reggie Miller. Darnell Edge is one of the great shooters in America. Led the country last year in free throw percentage. Right now, he's top 5 3-point field goal percentage. We got two great seniors, Rome.
We're talking Fairleigh Dickinson basketball right now with the head coach, Greg Horrenda. Greg, I know you don't want to make it about you, but when you and I spoke about the tournament in 2016, we talked a little bit about your journey, but the journey has become even more challenging more remarkable since then. I mean, come on now. You and your wife, Jill, and your son, Trey, have a tradition that you go to the Final Four together. The story goes that you were at the airport with Kerry Kittles, and your leg did not feel very good. What were you thinking at that time?
Wrong.
Say it again, Greg.
Who does your homework? You're unbelievable.
Come on, man. Come on, man. You know.
I know. Okay, keep going. I don't want to interrupt, but I am so impressed.
So what were you thinking? So you're at the airport with Kerry Kittles, and you do not feel well. Your leg doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
I said, "Kerry, my leg is killing me, man." And then I said, "I don't think I'm going to go on the flight to my wife." And she looked at me, and our bags were packed. A year before, I had a similar situation at the Final Four, but I went to the doctor and I got a full, nothing was wrong. And I was happy that nothing was wrong, but I didn't feel right. That was Phoenix. When I went to San Antonio, my son Trey and I walked like 75 yards outside of our hotel. I'll never forget it. Jim Nance was in front of us and Mark View. And I said, "Trey, I got to sit down." And he's like, "Wow, Dad, here's, you know, all these guys." And I couldn't walk. And Jim, I've run a marathon. I'm a very active, you know, person my whole life. I was a college scholarship player, the whole nine yards. For me not to be able to walk something. The next morning we got up and I was in the emergency room and my leg was swelled up. I couldn't walk. I had 104.5 fever and they didn't know what was wrong with me. And it was serious. And it was the people at Methodist Hospital in San Antonio, Greg Seiler, who's a San Antonio Spur fanatic, every day came and visited me. The head coach at Incarnate Word, Carson Cunningham, who played for Gene Cady at Purdue, came and spent the whole day with me. And my team was behind me, texting me, calling me. And finally, I told my wife, "I don't want to die in Texas." Nothing wrong with Texas, but I didn't want to die there. And she was laughing. My son, but I was serious. I thought I could die, and I just wanted to get to Jersey. And I got back to Jersey, and with a long recovery, I'm back, and I'm coaching a great basketball team.
Yeah, but the thing is, Greg, and there's even more to it than that, because they discovered two clots. You had one in your leg. You had one in your abdomen. As you mentioned, you were running a fever of over 104. And the fear then is, with the blood clots in a situation like that, they could break off and maybe hemorrhage. And then if that weren't scary enough, the point that you didn't mention, your father, Anthony, passed away suddenly when he was 50, right? I've got to think that's in your mind too, right?
That's all I thought of was my father, because we never found out what my father died of. And back then, my mother didn't want to have an autopsy, and we all assumed that he died of a heart attack. And in this day and age with education, he could easily have had an embolism, and that could have been me. And I look like my father. I don't have his brains. He graduated from Stevens Institute of Technology, engineering. He was one of the highest students in his class, developed the first nuclear power plant in the state of New Jersey in Oyster Creek. So I don't have his brains, but I got his looks. I have a lot of his genes. And I hung on, man. God kept me here for a reason. And I really think that this team and the game of basketball had a lot to do with me making it and getting back to this point.
Greg Aranda joining us. You beat that thing. You beat that thing, and you're back, and you're better than ever. Mike Holloway Jr., Greg, a guy you mentioned earlier, he has said that your illness motivated him as a player. What's it mean to hear that from him?
I mean, it means a lot, because Mike and I, Rome, I coach him hard, you know. I'm an old-school coach, so they have to be accountable. So Mike and I have always loved each other, but we sometimes do not see eye to eye, let's just put it that way. And that's good. I mean, that's sport. And for him to come back, and when I came back, to embrace me the way he did and all the players, and if that motivated him, that this is reality. We tell them all the time. We have alums from Fairleigh Dickinson come in and say, guys, you don't know how lucky you are. And right in our midst is your coach that is so lucky. And we have a player, Nadi Passiri, that played two games and hurt his back, and he's been out for the remainder of the season. So he lost his ability to play. So when you have something great, you need to cherish it. And I cherish my relationship with our players, and Mike Holloway's right there at the top.
So bottom line this for me, when you're at a program like that, and I know I went to college at a smaller school, and you make it, yep, every trip to the tournament is special. It's so special. But as you've said, quote, I was in a bed, I was in a wheelchair, then a walker, a cane, yeah, and now we're dancing, end quote. Is there any way to put in words what the last 12 months have been like for you?
Really a movie. That's all I can say. Because when I got home, man, I say I walked for 3 months, I couldn't do everything that I could do. You know, I didn't know where I was going, but I really don't have words. I think it's a movie. If you wrote the script, no one would believe it. But God, you know, you mentioned my wife Jill and my son Trey, my in-laws in South Carolina, and my brothers in California. But just the emails and the texts and my coworkers. But ultimately, man, I'm just telling you, Rome, when I was in that hospital bed, I go back, I pretended like I was in a tight TV timeout. And just like I tell my players, hey, we got to cut it from 16 to 12, 12 to 8. That's what I did. I really thought about my players. And if I'm going to push them, I got to push myself. And that was a motivating force that really, really stuck with me. And I think it really helped me through, and I really cherish. I lost my college basketball coach, Bert Hamill, earlier this year with a blood clot. He had an embolism and died as well. So, I survived. And it sounds like it's a made-for-TV story. It's not, man. It's real. It's me, and it's me and you right now, Will.
Greg freaking Aranda. He is the head basketball coach at Fairleigh Dickinson, man. I am so pumped. I am so pumped, yeah, to see you right there tomorrow night against Prairie View A&M.
We got to win a game, man. And ultimately, and I know you got to go, but our goal, we've never won.
Coach, I got nowhere to be. You take your time.
I got to win. We have to win a game here. Like the last time we talked, we had a great talk, and we ran into a buzzsaw. Florida Gulf Coast should not have been in the first four, but we absolutely have to win a game to make sure that we can do one thing, and that's create history at Fairleigh Dickinson University. We've never won a game, and if we do that, you know what? The school, the state of New Jersey, Hoboken, North Bergen, St. Peter's Prep, all the good people out there, we'll be a part of it, and it's happening tomorrow night at 6:40.
Hey, last thought. So I think that the kids, you know, at that age, they're only going to have so much perspective. You know better, especially given what you went through for the past year. I know you want them to enjoy the moment. I know you want them to take it all in. But what I'm hearing from you is, guys, don't just be happy to be here. We got to find a way to win. We need to win one.
Amen. We're really loose. We're like off the floor. We're just kind of the whole deal. But these guys know. Rome, we got a kid, Jaleel Jenkins. If you watch the game, and I know Reggie's doing the game, you're going to fall in love with him. He was not on the first, second, or third team in our conference. He averaged 13 and change, number one assist to turnover ratio. He's got the biggest heart and smallest body. He's as fast as they come, a terrific player. Caleb Bishop played for Bob Hurley at St. Anthony's High School, had 20-11 in the championship game, 6'8 kid that made 3 for 3 for 3. And we got an exciting, good basketball team. And the difference between this team and 16 is that 16, we were the third youngest team in America. And now we've grown up. We got two kids that won it in 16 that are going to lead us in 19. But I'm just telling you, well, this is going to be an exciting game because Prairie View really, really guards. They're like, when I was at Holy Cross, we played Arkansas, the 40 minutes of hell, the year before they won the whole thing. And they're not, you know, obviously Arkansas won a national championship, but at our levels, they're the Arkansas of the SWAC. And they're really well coached. Byron Smith really gets after it. A lot of respect for them. So it's going to be a dogfight.
This game is tomorrow night, 6:40 p.m. Eastern. Clones, if you're listening, make sure you find a way to see it. Fairleigh Dickinson, Prairie View A&M, Greg Herenda is the head coach. My man, I don't even want to go. I even hate to let you go.
Let's keep going, man. What do you got?
Hey, go back to Jenkins for a minute. I got one thing for you. Go back to Jenkins. When you talk about a kid like that size and that kind of heart, is that nature or nurture? Was he wired like that, or did he make himself like that?
He is now, this is 35 years, Rob, and I've coached Shaheen Holloway, was the McDonald's MVP of the McDonald's All-American game and played at Seton Hall and now's the head coach at St. Peter's. He's got, like, Shaheen Holloway heart. The kid, he's got, like, blonde hair, green eyes, light-skinned black kid that is just infectious. I mean, you want to just take him home and love him, but on the floor, he's a tiger. He's absolutely fearless, and he makes everybody on our team better. He really, really does, man. Exciting, exciting player, and he leads the team with the ball, and he's got to take care of it tomorrow because they're going to try to take it from him, Rome, I'm telling you.
This kid's got it, though, doesn't he? This kid's got it. What's he go, $160?
But he's gotten stronger. That's the one. He came in like an eighth grader, and now he's a junior. You know what? He's only a sophomore at Fairleigh Dickinson, but he looks like he's just grown up 2 or 3 years. But he's you got to watch him. He's worth the watch. And again, I told him right before we went into the conference tournament, you know, you weren't first, second, or third team, but let's show them in this tournament that you're the best point guard in our conference. And I think right now everybody's watching him and knowing that Jaleel Jenkins is the best point guard in our conference, and we're still playing, and I'm really proud of the kid.
He looks like he knows it, too. He knows everybody's watching. He wants to be that guy. He wants to be in that spot, and that game is going to be tomorrow. Greg, listen, I know you got work to do, and you do have work to do. Good luck. Good luck. We'll be watching.
Hey, Rome,
and if you win that game, you know I'm looking for you.
I can't appreciate your time anymore, man. You are the greatest. Your homework, your research, and your love, I feel it, and I really, really appreciate it totally, and I thank you so much.
My man, you got it, Greg, and it's all true. The homework, the research, the love, I have all that for you. I really do. I think I'm amazed by what you've overcome, where you have that team. I can't wait to see what you guys look like tomorrow. I can't wait to see you out there on the floor. And going back to our conversation in 2016, I was really looking forward to this again. Greg Herenda. He is the head coach at Fairleigh Dickinson. Man, I love that. God, this is why I love the tournament. This is why I love the tournament. And sometimes when some of you hear me say so-and-so coach from so-and-so school, and it kind of flashes through your mind, I don't know that school. I don't even know that coach. Give us this. We know what we're doing. We know who we're putting on. I can't say that every guy that we put on is going to show up like that. But this is why I love that event. Because you get a guy like that with a story like that, and he's not going to show up like one of those guys who's there every single year, and it's a disappointment if they don't make it to the Final Four. Man, that's a guy who is absolutely reveling and loving the moment. Reveling in the moment. Are you going to tell me you listen to something like that, and you're not interested in seeing his team play tomorrow? Fairleigh Dickinson, Prairie View A&M, tomorrow, 6:40 p.m., and that's about as far over a floating break as I could possibly go. And best of all, my man would have stayed. Man, that was fun. Two coaches. Be honest with me now. How many of you listening right now didn't know of either Lavelle Moten or Greg Horenda? And how unbelievable were both of them as interviews? It's amazing. All right, we are really fat and really over, so we'll come right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Chris and Casey reacting. Holy crap, what a guy Horenda is. I want him as my coach. I don't even play basketball. Yeah, I mean, it's not very often that in the middle of an interview I say to somebody I'm talking to, man, you're pumping me up. I'm fired up. I'm hyped up. God, I mean, that, my man's living the dream. And by that, I mean, he was really ill. Really ill. Like, could have died. Really ill. Came back. I love the way he said, I'm sitting in that hospital bed. First, what he said was, I don't want to die in Texas. And he said his wife laughed at that, but he meant it. He said, I don't want to die in Texas. Like, he thought he might die. And I love the way Greg Horenda said, I was sitting in that hospital bed, and I was treating it like a timeout. And what I would say to my own team, all right, we're at 16. We got to get it to 12. We got to get it to 8. We got to get it down. And he said, I can't push my guys that hard and then not ask the same of myself that I ask of them. I have to push myself the way I push them. I've got to be consistent. I owe that to them. So he just kept battling. I mean, the guy's just living the dream. He's healthy. He's back. His team is in the tournament. He's getting some national run for the program. God, it means so much. It means so much to me that that conversation meant so much to him. And he's just living in the moment, man. He's locked in, but he's enjoying the moment. And he gets to come on a nationally syndicated radio program and talk about his team and talk about the opportunity. And not afraid at all to say, man, Rome, we got to win now. We got to win. Don't be afraid to do something great. Just an amazing conversation. And you have to find programs and coaches and stories like that. This is why we try to get them out there. It's kind of like a jungle tradition. When the tournament starts, you have all these amazing programs and amazing coaches and amazing players and amazing stories that you just don't know about. So we try to dig deep and try to get to as many of those as we possibly can. So you know what you're watching and you've got a greater appreciation for what it took to get there. And Drew Tilley tweets, not only was Horenda a great interview, but you should have just had him guest host when you're in the basement sometime. This dude's energy and personality are infectious. They are. Like, I didn't want to end the interview. He didn't want to end the interview. And it wasn't an interview. We're just having this amazing conversation. Just talking ball, talking life. I mean, I hate to let you go.
Let's keep going, man. What do you got?
This guy nails it. Brett V. Jennings tweets, I watch a ton of sports and didn't know Greg Horenda's story. I was Googling him during the interview, man. I can't wait to watch that game now. Hashtag go Knights. Hashtag first class dude. See, this is what I mean. That is the ultimate compliment of an interview. I didn't know him. I didn't know his story. But damn, I can't wait to watch his game tomorrow. How many of you were going to make it a point to watch that game? Probably not everybody. And how can you hear that interview and not at least think, all right, so where am I going to find that game? How do I find that game? What time is that game? You can't. There's no way you can hear an interview like that and not have an interest in that game. Maybe get some action on that game. Get down on that game. James in Sacramento tweets, if only Fairleigh Dickinson was on Jake's shortlist, coach would have brought him over the finish line. Yeah, I don't know. We're leaning very strongly towards Wisconsin. I don't know, man. If that guy were in my living room, if Greg Horenda were in my living room chatting up the Rome family, we might end up there. I love the way he casually also moved into, you know how it is, Rome. You could tell that he was going to say, I'm not always big on the players-only meetings. He said, you know, Rome, you saw what happened with the Steelers. I was going to follow up on that, but there were so many other interesting things that we had to do. 1-800-636-8686. The streak, the run car streak, is currently at 8. One more ties the record. We'll see. And I've got thoughts on the Knicks and Lakers, which I've got to get to. I will hit that next segment because by tomorrow it's too late. If you're on hold, stay there. Still time for telephone calls. Greg Horrenda. He said, we got to win, Rome. We have to win a game. If they win that game, I'll be looking for him again. I can't guarantee we turn him, but I like my chances. I like my chances if they win. He's got a tough matchup. He made that point about a half dozen times.
It's good. My ball swing field is good.
Let's get to the ATP, the Ask the Pros question, where you get to submit a question at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And this question is, Jim, when you were at UCSB, did the Gauchos ever go dancing? If so, did you make that run with them? Thanks. Rick and Madison, Warwisco, welcoming the Rome family this August. So I touched on that last week. They went dancing when I worked professionally after I graduated, but not while I was at school. So I was there. I graduated in, hate to say it, but 86. And they went in 88. And they went in 90. So yeah, they went. I went with them, but not as a student. And then they've gone since in ensuing years. But again, I went to a school that was not routinely, never mind routinely, I thought we'd never get there. And then we did. And it's an amazing experience. All of you that went to smaller schools know it's an incredible experience the first time you get that call. And that's why Fairleigh Dickinson is amazing. And I knew exactly what Greg Horrenda was talking about. So, Hawk was a topic, in case you missed it, quick reset. The LA Marathon's coming up this weekend. Hawk committed to it while his wife was 4 months pregnant. He thought it was a good idea. He got into it, he was hyped up on a little while, for a little while, and then it got to be too much. Now he hates it, he hates the work, he hates the process, he stopped training. He got to the 13.1 mile mark and then just quit, just stopped, and said, I'm over it. What I'm going to do is just show up day of and put it all out there. And hopefully that'll be good enough. And my response was, yeah, it might be, or it might get you killed. So he has not run or trained in 2 weeks. He was going to run this past weekend, but instead played golf. And so I'm asking people who've done this before, can the guy do it? What should he do? Could it end badly? Could it end well? Let's see. And in the meantime, we are working on a streak of 8 consecutively run callers. If this guy gets run, it ties the all-time jungle mark of 9. Let's go to Chad in Virginia. Hey, Chad, how are you?
I'm good, Rome. Hey, listen, I ran that in 99. I was 41. I did it in 4 hours, 1 minute, 30-some seconds. And I had run about 2 or 3 half marathons before that. But the 6 months prior, my longest run was 9 miles. And I got to throw this in as a kicker. Listen, at that time, I had been smoking cigarettes since I was 16. And about a half a pack a day. But I ran regularly, worked out regularly. I didn't run a long run. I think 13 miles is plenty. What he needs to keep doing is just running, maybe do a 5-miler on the weekend, maybe work up to a 10-miler, and that would be good. All right, I'm out. I love your show, Rome.
Appreciate Bye. You, Chad. Thank you. One problem with that, Chad. The race is in 6 days. He can't do a 5 on the weekend and then work up to a 10. He's running out of time. There are no weekends. The race is this weekend. All right, so Chad said he did an LA marathon when he was 40 or 41. He smoked a half a pack a day and really wasn't training. But he worked out and did some road work. Even more importantly, and I literally, because I was into his call, I forgot during the call, he wrecked the streak. He didn't get run. But then again, that's what I like. It had to be organic. It could not be contrived. I liked it. Listen, I got to give my take on the Lakers and Knicks because it's not going to jump the day. I've got to get this in right now. I may get to a phone call on the other end. Stay there. So the Lakers go into Madison Square Garden, and they take on the Knicks. Now, there was a time when a battle between the Lakers and the Knicks would have been the biggest story in all sports. L.A. v. New York. Two iconic cities, two storied franchises facing off in the most historic arena. There was a time. Yesterday was not that time. Did you even know that game happened? I mean, seriously, did you know that game was played? It was as if everybody knew it was going to be a horrible game and just tried to move it to a time when nobody could actually see it or find it. Because that game tipped off at noon on the East Coast, which meant that if you were on the West Coast and you cared about that game, you probably had to set an alarm just to get up and see it. I mean, hell, if you're scheduling a 9 a.m. NBA game, why bother even playing that game? It's not like anybody's going to see it. It's not like anybody gives a damn. How important can the game be if it's tipping off at 9 a.m.? Why not just go old school with it like they did with the NBA Finals back in the day and tape delay it at 11:30 at night? And yes, that was a real thing. That did happen. That really did happen and was a real thing. And it was a real thing as recently as the mid-80s. And that's what this was, or the next best thing. Because when I say there were no winners in yesterday's Lakers-Knicks game, I really mean that. That's not a figure of speech. That's a fact. There were no winners. The Knicks won the game, but really that's a loss because they're only 2.5 games ahead of Phoenix for the worst record in the league. The Lakers lost that game, which I guess you could try to argue is actually a win because it does help their lottery chances, but it's a loss, and it's an even worse loss because it came against the Knicks. And because it all came down to this play. It all came down to one play. Again, forget for a moment that the Lakers are not going to make the playoffs and that their season is getting worse by the minute. Focus just on this. I'm talking about the Los Angeles Lakers playing the New York Knicks, and I just use the phrase, it all came down to this play. That right there, in and of itself, is the biggest indictment of the Lakers season. Anyway, it all came down to this play.
James, 5 seconds, drives left side of the lane, leans in, denied, knocked away, 1 second, that's going to do it. A stop of LeBron James at the buzzer. The Knicks swarm Mario Hezonja.
Mario Hezonja, if you need him. And now he carves his name into the history books as one of only 6 guys to block LeBron on a game-winning shot. The other names, Tobias Harris, Mason Plumlee, Jimmy Butler, John Sammons, Samuel Dalembert, Mario Hezonja. That's Mario blocking LeBron. And that is the Lakers' entire season in a nutshell. And so is the image that went viral afterwards of Mario smiling and pointing at LeBron while LeBron is down on one knee. Now, it's important to note for accuracy's sake that that did not come after the block shot. That came earlier in the game, but that didn't stop it from going viral in a second. And it became a full-blown meme before lunchtime on the West Coast. And that pretty much sums up the entire season for the Lakers. That block that ended that game capped off a truly brutal fourth quarter for LeBron. He went 4 of 15. And all you needed to see was that final play where he suddenly looked really, really old. I mean, given the way that guy's been throwing down lately, I'm going to say that he didn't turn into a 70-year-old overnight, but LeBron looked like it on that play. I mean, just on that one play. On that one play, that was some Willie Mays stumbling around in center field with the Mets kind of stuff. But then again, in fairness to LeBron, it is Mario freaking Hezonja. He will do that to you. This is the same guy who dunked on Giannis earlier this season and then stepped over Giannis afterwards. It prompted Giannis to say this after the game.
Does that bother you?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to punch him in the stomach.
Really?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to make out what he said, but, you know, Giannis comes off as one of the more relaxed, fun-loving guys in the league. He said he wanted to punch Mario, and that he would next time. But that's because Mario comes to play. Dunking on Giannis, swatting LeBron. What I'm saying to you is the association has never seen a guy averaging less than 8 points per game with more confidence or more attitude than Mario. As for the Lakers, I would say that losing to the Knicks is officially rock bottom, but you know it's not. I know there are new depths that they can sink to in their remaining games. And if you want to freak out about LeBron sitting at the end of the bench during a timeout all by himself, you'd be my guest. I mean, again, aren't we just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic? I mean, no, it doesn't look good. But then again, right now, what about the Lakers looks good? Absolutely nothing. So if you want to go nuts or freak out about the embarrassment of a breakfast time loss to the Knicks, you go right ahead. LeBron himself, though, said it best after the game.
It bothers me in the fact that we didn't close the game out. I mean, being a competitor that I am, and it bothers me that I didn't make enough plays down the stretch. It bothers me that I didn't even get a shot up at the hoop. But, you know, of course that stuff bothers me. But, I mean, what's the difference between their record and our record? Two teams out of the postseason. So there's no difference. I mean, we have a couple more wins than them, but both teams right now are looking, you know, on the outside, you know, looking in. So it's not much of a difference.
That's the damn truth. There's not much of a difference between the Knicks and the Lakers. There isn't much of a difference between the Lakers and the Knicks. The Lakers have a few more wins, but that's about it. But there is one difference, and this is the really scary thing about it. The difference is, and it's the ultimate salt in the wound of Laker fans, the difference is the Knicks have a damn good chance of signing one, if not two, high-level free agents. That's right. That's the difference. The Knicks have been a complete and utter train wreck for decades. They've got some of the most dysfunctional ownership in all of sports. But they're a more attractive free agent destination than L.A. is right now. Yeah, I said it. And I said it because it's true. Stars would rather ball out in New York for James Dolan than they would L.A. alongside LeBron. We can debate whether you really want Kyrie on your team, but the Knicks are the ones with a shot at signing him, not the Lakers. Man, that's got to suck for Laker fans. As bad as the Knicks are, they have hope. The Lakers, on the other hand, let's not get into that.
Let's not get into that yet.
In other words, the worst part of yesterday's loss to the Knicks is that that's not even the worst part. L.A. is imploding rapidly, and it's getting worse by the game. The season that looks so good in December cannot end quickly enough in March. It's gotten so bad that losing to the Knicks isn't embarrassing. It's pretty much expected. It's actually a good thing. And that is the worst look of all. Oh, that was good, right? That was good. Hit that post. Jake in Buffalo tweets, it's always some bag named Chad that screws up the fun, isn't it? Stucknut tweets, Chad in Virginia is dead to me. Statical Plane tweets, unwar Chad, you just ruined my life, bro. Chad's the guy who didn't get run to snap the streak. Man, I said today it was going to be great, and it was. John Rothstein, Lavelle Moten, Greg Horrenda. Three great college basketball interviews. Good takes. Couple of good calls. Y'all have a great day. Thanks for coming. See you tomorrow. We're out.